Hello and welcome. This is the Ultra Working Podcast. I am Chris Natterer. And in today's show, we're talking about lead indicators and lag metrics. So I consider this a brief overview of the topic. I want to give you some definitions, give you some examples, and yeah, maybe open your thinking up to the concept of when is it correct, when is it good to be focusing on lag metrics, the actual outcomes, the results, and when is it good to focus on lead indicators instead. And I think, yeah, these are some interesting questions. I don't necessarily have any final answers, but hopefully I can raise some interesting questions with you and we can explore this topic a little bit. Now, let's start with the definitions. What is a lag metric? A lag metric is usually the thing that we're actually trying to increase. Could also call this a outcome goal or just a result. Let's take, for example, sales. Your lag metric in sales or in business in general might be your revenue or the number of deals that you've closed. The leading indicators, on the other hand, are the things that generally have to happen first in order for you to achieve the lag metric. So for example, again, in sales and deals don't just happen in a vacuum. They don't just fall magically from the sky. Something has to happen. For example, you have to first, you know, get a certain number of leads. Then you have to reach out to those leads. You have to contact them. You have to be on the phone. There is a process involved that actually leads you from a client or lead first, you know, getting aware of your business and product, getting in touch with you, or you reaching out to the client, to then eventually over time, you know, building up that trust and closing the sale. In academia or research, the lag metric might be the number of published articles. And the lead indicator is potentially the number of projects that you're working on, that you've initiated, the number of research grant proposal you've submitted, the number of experiments you've conducted, and things along those lines. In education, maybe a school wants to rate itself by the number of students that graduate. And in order for students to graduate, they have to be engaged. They have to actually attend the school. There have to be things that happen before a student can successfully graduate. And this happens in any space we look at. An athlete will not magically break any personal records or, you know, win competitions if he hasn't put in the time required to hone his skill and increase his physical preparedness. A writer that once wrote a book and, you know, has his the number of published books as his ultimate goal, well, in order to get there, he has to spend a significant amount of time in front of his computer or typewriter, typing away, editing, rewriting, and just engaging with his craft for a lot of time. So it's interesting. Just in the way, for example, the examples that I gave, very often the outcome goals that I mentioned are things that ultimately are only partially in our control. For example, the number of closed deals in a business, even someone who's extraordinarily good at sales will still only close a certain percentage of all of the different deals that he engages with. So ultimately on each individual deal, there's like a statistical distribution whether or not you will get it. And don't really have full control over how any given deal will go. There is more than one person involved. There is also the person that you're trying to sell to and whether or not they like what you're seeing or in the mood to buy at any given day is really to a certain degree outside of your control. And yeah, something that the best salespeople absolutely know and understand, but they know that it is a statistical distribution. So given their specific skill set, and obviously there is an art to it, but let's say a salesperson has a certain deal percentage. They know that if they just engage with enough qualified leads, they will close a certain percentage of those deals. Now, this will fluctuate, this will vary over time, but ultimately, given enough large enough sample size and long enough timeline, this will more or less average out to whatever is their, you know, average closing rate on the specific product, the specific audience, and so on and so on. Now, it's kind of interesting because one thing is something that very often the outcome you really can't control 100%. Like you can't really force ultimately how many sales you're going to close. It is outside of your control. But what is inside of your control is the number of phone calls that you've done, the number of leads that you've contacted, for example. That is really something where absolutely nothing stands in your way. You can at any given point pick up the phone and dial a certain number, for example, if you're calling leads. This might be a number of emails that you've sent. These are things that are more or less 100% within your control. And it's interesting in these fields when you have a lag metric that is outside of your control, that you can't fully directly influence, and a leading indicator that you can fully influence, to potentially be focusing much more on that leading indicator. So for example, an author, a writer that wants to write a book, which from everything I've heard can be quite a, mentally and emotionally draining activity, like writing a book, from everything I've heard, can take a lot out of people. And I think it often happens when you're focused on a specific outcome that you want to achieve, for example, a certain number of lines written. And on certain days, maybe absolutely just nothing is coming out of you and just not making any progress. And that can feel demoralizing in any given field, unless, you're not really focused on the specific outcomes that you're getting from each individual session, but you're focused instead on just having put in the time. And now that is, again, something that is basically completely within your control. Nobody can, or nothing can, prevent you from putting in a certain number of hours. And over time, putting in a certain number of hours is the thing that leads to you getting the outcome results that you're looking for. It's just more or less a matter of time. If, nothing happens initially, at least you're getting a lot of miles in terms of honing your craft and working on your trade, on your skill. And over time, you'll just get better. Versus someone who's, focused on performing a certain result, but then maybe gets, demoralized in cases when it doesn't go his way, when the results aren't what is expected or what is anticipated or is hoped for. Now, I want to give two examples here. One is from a book called The Score Will Take Care of Itself by Bill Walsh. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a football guy. Coming from Europe, from Germany, this is not a really big sport. If we say football, we usually mean soccer. So, yeah, excuse me if I'm mixing some things up here on the specifics. But Bill Walsh won multiple championships in college football for Stanford. And then in the National Football League, he coached the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, and from everything that I know about this, he basically took over this team at a time when they were performing absolutely poorly. So the year before he arrived, I think they were the worst performing team in the NFL, and it was in the year 1978. And by the year 1981, they were the best team in the NFL and won the Super Bowl that year. And he had a relentless focus. Bill Walsh had a relentless focus, especially initially, on good process. So he wasn't really too obsessed with winning initially, because his basic theory was, if we do everything correct that sort of leads to teams that are winning games, then eventually by us focusing on these other things, eventually they will lead to us winning games. And as the title of his book suggests, the score takes care of itself in that case. Now, he was really heavily focused on things that, in his mind, predicted teams that eventually win games. So high level of professionalism, showing up on time, practicing moves to perfection over and over again, really setting a new standard and focusing exceptionally on performing against that standard. And quite quickly, actually, it's very impressive to see this extremely quick turnaround. The team started to see the results of the labor, of the activities, of the efforts they had put in earlier to actually implement all of these changes. Now, here's a quote from the book that I really liked, and it's the following: "The culture precedes positive results. It doesn't get tacked on as an afterthought on your way to the victory stand. Champions behave like champions before they're champions. They have a winning standard of performance before they are winners. So that's really like an interesting insight that basically there are clear predictors initially of what type of behaviors will lead to winning games, in this case in the NFL. And I guess the results in this scenario here also speak for themselves, and the score did take care of themselves. Another example that I want to give is from a article, and actually I've seen a number of these referenced. Quantity always trumps quality. So this is basically about the process, I guess, or the mindset maybe, that leads to the highest quality product in anything creative, in arts, for example, in writing, in drawing, in painting, in crafting. In this case, it's some ceramics. And the question is, if you want to perform, or you want to be able to produce work at the highest level of quality that you're capable of, how do you get there? What's the actual way for you to get there? And this article makes the point, and you know, has a concrete example, an anecdote here, that we actually get better initially, not by focusing on producing the highest quality work, but by focusing relentlessly on just working a lot, focusing on quantity. And the example here given is a ceramics teacher basically separated his class into two groups. He told one side or one group that they would be graded solely on the quantity of the work they produced. And the other half, he told that they would only be graded on the quality. Now, you would assume, potentially, the group that was graded on quality produced the highest quality work, and the group that was graded on quantity most likely produced, you know, large quantity of mediocre potentially, or like, you know, maybe good, but not as good work as the high quality group. However, this was not the result that was encountered. Here, actually, the works of the highest quality were all produced by the group being graded for quantity. And the explanation given here, I can't really guarantee that this is true, is that while the quantity group was busily churning out piles of work and learning from their mistakes, the quality group had sat theorizing about perfection and in the end had little more to show for their efforts than grandiose theories and a pile of dead clay. Now, this might be an example. I'm not sure if this is actually true. I'm not sure there isn't exactly mentioned which ceramics course this occurred in. But I think it shows, or it illustrates one thing. First of all, that sometimes by focusing on a specific process goal, now the quantity here is something that is, you know, easily controllable. It's easily within the sphere of influence of each individual student in that class. You can just, you know, spend a lot of hours working on your ceramics. You can, you know, churn out a lot of work, versus quality is actually not necessarily 100% controllable. Obviously, you become more skilled and eventually you maybe can produce high quality work on a whim. But in order to work up to it, you actually need to give yourself the chance to learn and become better. And producing a lot of work is a good way to arrive there. I also think that what it will ultimately do is it will certainly take the pressure off. So, you know, if you want to produce really high quality work, then it puts a certain amount of pressure on you, especially because it's, as I just think stated, or at least that's my my gut feeling here, that if it was, you know, like even the best music artists that we know, not every single song that they produce will be an absolutely hit. Some of them are good, but, you know, they sort of probably have like a lower bound of what their work is able to do, what they're able to accomplish. But generally, the work will fall into a certain spectrum. Sometimes you have absolutely like the best song that produced, absolute smash hits. And sometimes you just have like a good track that is, you know, nice to listen to, but isn't like the best work you've ever done. And just being able to focus on producing a lot will allow you to give yourself a chance to create songs that fall within your spectrum of capability. Now, I don't really know how to necessarily generalize that. Like, when should you be focusing on a specific outcome? When should you be focusing on a lag metric? And when should you be focusing on a specific leading indicator? Is there like a right mix to do that? You know, should you always focus on a mix? Does it maybe depend on in which stage of your learning or developmental phase are you? For example, is it really useful, especially early in a new activity, to focus exclusively or primarily on process goals? And then as you get better and as you become more adept, you start focusing more on the actual results that you're getting. It could depend also on your psychological makeup. Maybe some folks are better suited to work primarily with lag metrics or with outcome goals. Maybe for others, it's actually better if they focus only on the process, only on the performance metric that will eventually lead to the outcome. Now, haven't really fully explored this. Don't know exactly how to think about this. I do, however, believe that performance metrics, leading indicators, are underutilized. They appear to be, for me, underutilized. I know that I certainly have focused in most of the stuff that I've done on the outcomes. And I think just my gut feeling tells me that that wasn't always the best. And, you know, focusing on, you know, putting in the right work ethic, putting in the right amount of time, focusing on just doing a lot of the most important activities could ultimately, in many cases, have produced better results than focusing on a specific outcome. So yeah, I might probably do part two about this in the future. Maybe I'll get Sebastian on. This seems like a really interesting topic. Maybe we can come up with some, you know, harder rules or heuristics on how to work with lagging or leading indicators. Yeah, I think for, you know, I would maybe encourage you to think about your own life and the outcomes that you're currently working on, and considering if there are leading indicators that you could be focusing either instead or additionally that will enable you to have a easier path, faster path, more successful, higher percentage path of actually hitting those results, hitting those outcomes, those lag metrics. Yeah, that's it for me for today. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Looking forward to hearing from you. Any questions, any show ideas, podcast@ultraworking.com. Until then, thank you for listening. And as always, be well.